Well, good morning. A couple of you might be wondering, as wonderful as Crystal's testimony was, how she decided to come on over here to Northbrook. You know, is she going to every church in Brooklyn Center and Brooklyn Park? I don't know. She might have, I know she sent out letters to several, but I do know that one of the reasons why she chose to come here to share her testimony was to encourage this body, because a part of this body was praying for her. Okay? Paula and Carrie are two of her friends who are holding her up in prayer through this entire time. And they are part of the body of Christ who was praying for Crystal. And whenever one part of the body is hurting, the whole body hurts. And yet when one part does better, we all need to rejoice. And so we rejoice with Crystal with her testimony. And I just want to encourage you that sometimes when you pray, you don't realize how powerful that prayer is. So keep praying for others. Even Lutherans. I was confirmed a Lutheran as a young boy. That's okay. Okay. Please turn your Bibles with to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. We'll start with verse 60. If you don't have a Bible with you, please check underneath the seat. A few of them, you might find yourself a Bible there. Gospel of John, chapter 6. Starting with the 60th verse. On hearing it, many of the disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Now, just to back up, remember the teaching he's referring to is that Christ is His very flesh is that which we must eat. That He said, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." It's a very tough teaching, but remember, it's a spiritual teaching, not a physical teaching that he was giving there. Now let's move on. Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he has been before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit. They are life. Yet, there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come unto me unless the Father has enabled him." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave me too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Then Jesus replied, "Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who was the one of the 12, was later to betray him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. And we just ask right now that you'd send your Holy Spirit in power and in truth to illuminate this scripture to us. Lord, find us that spiritual food, that bread that will give our spirits strength to get through the day, to get through this life, and spend that everlasting life with you. Lord, I pray for myself now as I come to preach that your anointing would be upon me, that any misunderstandings or wrong thoughts that I might have will not come through in this teaching, but instead, Lord, that your word would flow from my lips and that it would touch the hearts and minds and ears of the people who are here, that they would hear it, believe it, and live it. Again, Lord, that it would come in their ears and flow out their hands. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now last week we looked at the previous 30 verses or so. As we're looking at that, we saw that there were three main issues that Jesus was dealing with. We had the fact that the people were chasing after seeking to feed their bodies. Okay, he had fed the 5,000, and they were seeking to follow Jesus, but not because for spiritual feeding, but for to feed their bodies. One, the physical hunger. Here's somebody who can just give us food, but also to feed their entertainment hunger of, hey, let's watch this guy do something really neat. You got to see this. He takes 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish, and he ended up with 12 vessels, and everybody ate. I mean, this guy is better than David Copperfield. Also dealing with the issue of self-sufficiency. Fortunately, this is not a problem that we have today, right? Wrong. We all try to teach self-sufficiency. We even have our army now teach it. You know, I don't like their new ad. An army of one. The self-sufficiency whole thing. Somehow we think that we can do it on our own. They'll pull ourselves up by their own bootstraps type attitude. It wasn't a brand new or something just for this country. We find it here with these people. They're saying, well, what must we do? They said to him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Requires in order to be saved. And Jesus tells them, the work that you must do is to believe on the one who was sent. Because that is the third issue he was dealing with, was their unbelief. Yeah, they had seen him feed the 5,000. They had seen him heal the diseased. But they're still saying, well, is he really the Son of God? You know, do us one more trick so that we can believe you. Make this one a really good one. How about I rise from the dead? And he does that, eventually. But these are not new issues. They all revolve around this one issue of grace. Grace. It's a very hard concept for us. It's what Luther had his division with the Catholic Church was about, was the dispensation of grace. He said, it comes through belief in Jesus Christ. That's it. You don't do works to get it. When we look here, we see. That's what he said. What do? The work is to believe in the one he has sent. How many times has anybody here ever spoken with somebody who, you know, has looked at maybe Christianity and they say, well, you know, what do I have to do? They say, or you ask them maybe that question. Do you know whether or not if you were to die today, if you would go to heaven? And they say, well, I think I would. I'm a good person. You know, I've done all the right things. I went to church. You know, I give to UNICEF. I do this or that. What we see here is that we have a hard time then and now accepting the fact that we in and of ourselves can't do the job. We are not self-sufficient. I'm a very independent person. I like to do things myself. One of my problems, one of my issues as a pastor even, is not always having somebody else do something. Sometimes if it's something difficult, I'll just do it myself. It's easier. Anybody here ever fall into that trap? Oh yeah. Sometimes, even though there's somebody else who can do it better, I'll do it anyways because I can do it. You know, I can. Even though I can't. You know. I can pick on Dwayne because he's not here today. But, you know, I was going to fix some pipes. We had replaced some piping in our in our bathroom, replace a faucet. And I got in there, and I can do some basic soldering and fitting of pipes. But this was a little bit more complex. There were some different angles and stuff, and I couldn't get it quite right. And I couldn't get the solder to just seal in. And I tried, and I tried. Then I called Dwayne. I said, okay, come do it. I can't do it. And a lot of us are like that. Except we don't give up. We figure, how do we get to heaven? Well, I'm just going to try. And Jesus is saying, give up. Just believe in me. That's how you get there. That's grace. And that's so hard for us. Because we don't want to believe that He can do it. That we're not good. We have the world trying to say, you know what? You are good. It's other stuff that's bad. But the fact of the matter is that we are all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. That's it. Yes, we are good. There is good within us. You were made in the image of God. That's good. You've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's good. In fact, that's the only goodness that's going to get you to heaven, is receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. See, you were made in the image of God so that you could receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. You see, when God made us, He made us with a God-sized part that was removed when we sinned. Now when we receive Christ, it comes in. Okay, does that make any sense? See, we're not self-sufficient. I can't go shopping and buy one of those. I can't go and build one myself. Where do I get this part that goes here? Jesus said, what's the work that I must do to be saved? Well, you have to believe in me. And on hearing this, many of His disciples said, this is a hard teaching. How can we accept this? How can I accept that as much as I study, as much as I try to do good, that's never going to be enough? It isn't. You can study the Bible your entire life. You can walk every little old lady that you ever run across the street. That didn't quite work out well. Don't run over the little old lady. But you can take meals to people who are sick. You can pray for people. And you can do all these wonderful things. But if you do not accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's never going to be enough. One of the issues that George is dealing with when he goes up to this place he refers to as Mars Hill, which is just a McDonald's that a bunch of people meet at for lunch, but they have questions about God, which is the reason why he calls it Mars Hill. One of the issues that he deals with is a lot of these people say, yeah, but Christianity says that Hitler, if at the last minute before he died, would have said, Jesus, I'm sorry, I receive you as my Lord and Savior, and he really meant it, he'd be saved. No matter the millions of Jews he killed, he'd still go to heaven. Is he trying to tell me that? And the answer is yep. I can't. That's just not fair. Isn't that what we do? We look at it and we say, yeah, praise God it's not fair, because if getting into heaven was fair, I wouldn't make it. Ask my wife. No. My self-sufficiency comes against grace. And there has to be a part where we just receive it. See, while grace is free, it costs everything. It costs absolutely everything, because to receive grace of salvation, we have to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That means He's in charge of everything. He's not just in charge of Sunday mornings from 10:45 to noon. He is in charge of every aspect of every corner of my being. That's what it means for him to be my Lord. To be my Savior is that he took and paid the penalty for my sins so that I could be in heaven. And there isn't any work I can do that could have paid for those sins. He is the only one who is capable of that. And the disciples that were following Jesus, they heard this and they said, you know, I don't know if I can believe that. And they walked away. And it broke his heart. It broke the heart of God. It breaks the heart of God when we turn away and we don't receive that gift that He has for us. But the wonderful thing is, we don't need to have the belief in of ourselves, because He tells us that's something He gives to us also. All we need to do is ask for it. Again, we need to stop seeking to follow our earthly desires, our heart, what I think is going to entertain me, what I think is going to be best for me. Instead, what I need to be doing is putting Jesus as my Lord and saying, Lord, what do I need to do that's best for You? What do You want me to be doing? Quite often, what He wants me to do is what is best for me. In fact, it is always what's best for me. Receiving grace is hard. It's not easy. It's not cheap. Because it will indeed, though you can't buy it, it will indeed cost you everything you have. And that's why it's so much harder for the rich man than the poor. Because the rich man says, I have to give all that I have to God. In fact, I have to see what I'm doing is recognizing that instead of walking around with the delusion that what I have is mine, is just coming to the understanding and truth that what I have is really His anyways, and I'm just walking around delusion. You know, some of us are really good at walking around in a delusion, this idea that everything's okay. You know, I have this delusion that I'm still skinny. Trust me, I still think of myself as 135 pounds. I haven't seen 135 pounds since before I married Donna. Even then I was 140 pounds. Granted, I had a 29-inch waist, you know, and used to do the V thing. Now I do the pear thing. But that self-sufficiency, that delusion, just needs to be set aside. And I can go to God and He'll help me. And He'll just say, Bruce, here's who you are. I will give you the belief. I need to set that aside and He'll show me who I am. And He'll give me the belief to do so. All I need to do is receive the grace, which is hard. It's not easy. It wouldn't have been easy for Hitler. It's not a good argument to say it's cheap. It's not easy. It's hard. But it is already bought and paid for. So, if you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, God bless. If you haven't yet, I'm telling you, it breaks his heart. Don't get caught up trying to feed the body. Don't get caught up in your self-sufficiency. Don't get caught up in the unbelief. Don't look to those like the disciples who walked away from Christ did. Instead, look to Jesus the way Simon Peter and answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Just said, "Lord, we've got no place else to go. We're sticking with you." People, there is no place else to go. Everything else is a one-way ticket to the wrong place. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Receive Him. Give Him all you got. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You today for Your blessings. Lord, we thank You that we can just walk with You in Your truth. That by just giving up of ourself and turning to You, You will give us eternal life. Lord, we have nowhere else to go. To whom shall we turn? So Lord, we turn to You and we say, Father, give us the belief we need that we might put our trust in Your mercy and Your grace. That we might receive You as our Lord and Savior and eat of that bread which gives us eternal life. Drink of that blood which washes us clean and renews us and covers us with the righteousness of the Son. Lord, we thank You for Your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand and turn in your hymnals.